Hey, y'all, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Rodney Perry. This is something new, man.
Brand new.
I called my friend, Cole, who is one of the most solid guys I know, well-versed in a number of fields of expertise. What's up, Cole?
What's going on, RP, man? Thank you for having me here, brother.
I think this is a podcast, man.
Man, I think, you know what? It's going to be.
It's going to be, and we've been kicking some names around. What do we say? What do we say?
No, this thing's so little, it's almost like the iPodcast. The little mixer thing is so little, you
right,
know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
We said the corner table podcast,
corner
the square table.
Square table.
The basement.
The basement. We're definitely in the basement.
Yeah. Bros in the basement, we'll figure it out. You know.
Just the basement.
Just the basement. I think that's fine.
And then wherever we at, that's going to be the new basement.
That'll be the new damn basement.
The basement is everywhere. The basement is the world.
Hey, that's it.
So I heard something on the radio today, and I said I want me and Cole to chop it up about that. So listening to Ricky Smiley, drop the kids off in the morning. I rarely listen to Ricky Smiley because it's hip hop, and you just never know what you're gonna get when you're in the car with your kids on the hip hop station.
Right.
And but they were talking about Joe Jackson has a child. That was the outside child that the rest of the Jackson kids never would acknowledge.
Why? Because he couldn't dance?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if that's
It's hard to bring him in the family. You can't dance or sing or nothing.
I mean, but Tito never really danced.
But he had an instrumental. I mean,
he had some
musical talent.
If the music came from Joe, that kid probably has some. Don't let me get crazy. Okay,
let's not go far.
Yeah, let's stay focused. Okay, so the question is, if for some reason you had an outside child. No, that's a horrible question.
Someone.
If you were an outside child, or should a family acknowledge an outside child because it's not the child's fault?
Well, you know, I think it's a catch-22, man. You know, like, believe not, I myself have experiences in my family with my father and his siblings.
Okay.
So they were like 11 deep, and my grandfather was like, Booker T was like.
You know.
Well, I want to let y'all know that
there's another one coming.
It's another one here.
Yeah.
He told his wife, and the kid grew up not far. They went to school, and they'd be like, you know,
he looked like us.
She did. You know, she kind of looked like Bonnie, and she kind of looked like Dion. But we ain't show. You know, we ain't for show.
Right.
But when my grandfather died, she showed up in the funeral front row, and now it's cool. So the question is, when the parent gets out the way, like I think her mother also would have created a situation.
Right.
You know.
And again, I completely agree. I had the same situation. I'm an outside child.
Okay.
And actually,
me too.
My wife is an outside child.
I definitely am.
So I'm an outside child. My biological father was married.
Okay.
And my mom was in high school, so he really lightweight raped and molested my mom.
I'm about to say he was
he was like that dude, I guess, you know. But my mom always told me stories that they were really in love.
Okay.
Long story short, his wife never acknowledged me. So my siblings on his side never reached out to me until their mom passed.
Right.
When their mom passed, I began to get the phone calls and the reach outs to like, yo, you know. And when I talked to my sister for the first time, when I tell you this, we had so much in common.
Right.
I mean, and I began to kind of look it up and learn about it. You're kind of more related to your siblings from your father than you are your siblings from your mother. Did you know that?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because, well, a lot of your genes that form you come from dad.
Right.
That's the idea. But you, most of us live in a home with our siblings from our mother.
Right. So then we cultivate
so
our personalities.
Connection. Exactly.
Right.
So you have that connection. But
I have to say, I met three of my sisters. I knew, so by my father, I have six sisters.
Okay.
Three I have met. We didn't really have the best relationship, but I always had love for them.
Exactly.
My other three sisters, that was by my father's wife when he got my mom pregnant. When he said he was married, he was single with no kids. He was really married with three at home.
Go ahead,
okay?
Go ahead, Pop.
And I'm going to tell you about some pimp stuff later.
I'm sure.
It's a pimp part of the story. But anyway, So I met them at my father's funeral, and one, my oldest one, so Evangela Angela Antoinette.
Take me there. So okay.
I'm at my father's funeral.
Your dad is gone.
Yes.
You're at the funeral.
Yes.
You don't know about...
I'm not cool with nobody, first of all.
They don't know you.
They know of me.
Okay.
We all know of each other. So there was some identity to it, but okay. We just never met.
Got it. Understood.
You know, so when we got there and we met, you know, we kind of semi got cool the best we could. But outside of that, you know, we're all Facebook friends. How about that?
Indeed.
That we are.
Let me tell you something. Facebook is big.
I'm friends with some of your siblings because of Facebook.
Right. There you go.
Right. But that really happened. But the pimp part of the story is...
Okay.
So when his wife with three daughters find out that he has another lady pregnant in the military with a son on the way, and the son comes, she's like, oh, well, we all moving in the house together. If you're not going to leave them, we're going to come to you. So the pimp part is we all lived in one crib. I don't know how long, but
you remember it though. You have a memory of it.
I don't, but my mother told me and my father told me.
Wow.
On separate occasions.
Got it.
And I've always looked at my mom as like she got pimp. You know, she got a little pimp in her.
So you guys were like the first outside of Utah.
But I don't think it was a sustainable unit.
Right.
I think it was like. Borderline, it's more like a death row office thing.
Really?
Where the Bloods and the Crips were there together, but wouldn't always fight.
And you would know about death row. You were
both
there. You were actually there, which is another story for another podcast.
Yeah.
We can dedicate a whole show to your stories. Now, I will say this. I understand and I notice that although Suge Knight was a pretty scary guy, that he was also a really nice guy. In some respects.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know,
community stuff, outreach and stuff like that. I know he did that because I used to work at KJLH and he would do a lot of stuff for the community. So
that was Stevie Wonder owned it back then.
He still does.
He still does.
Yeah, yeah. I got Stevie Wonder's story. Okay. Let's save it. Yeah. But so the short answer to the question is you should embrace that. You should embrace that child.
I would say it's easier for the siblings to embrace one another than it is for the outside parent and the inside parent to find some commonality.
Right.
I mean,
everybody's hurt.
That child is a constant reminder of indiscretions.
Wow.
You know what I mean, brother? So it's like, imagine your daughter turned on you one day, and then every time you got to look at the rest of them, you're like, you know what? I'm mad at you because of what she did.
Exactly.
You know, that happens.
Wow. Man, that's really interesting, man. So, but I saw that. I was like, yo, dude, we gotta look at that some kind of way.
But like, how old is that child now?
I mean, that child's 43 years old.
Okay, so when you have that particular situation, it's like, now it's time for the children to
somebody
become
need to
adults.
Let it go.
Somebody needs to be the adult. I understand that you're hurt because your mother was hurt. I could, especially when it comes to girls. When they see their mother's pain, especially when it comes to the father's indiscretions, they build their own mind of how the situation is. They have their own pain and anger.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, I mean, you was a freaking kid.
Come on, dog.
Tighten up.
Yeah. All right. This has been getting on my nerves, man.
Okay.
And I want you to give me something that gets on your nerves. This has been getting on my nerves. People that are busy, but I know you're not busier than me. I'm busy. I know you're not busier than me. And so like what the core of this comes from is like it's a friend of mine. He runs a comedy club in St. Louis. Okay. I can't never get this dude on the phone. And I'm like, I know you're not that busy. I know you took on undertaking, you're running the club, you're doing that, but you are not busy 24 hours a day. You're not too busy to return a call.
That is correct.
I mean, I get return calls from way more important people, and you're not that busy.
But maybe this is going to hurt a little bit. Right?
It's going to hurt. Go ahead.
But maybe you're just not important to him.
Maybe I'm not.
Because one thing I do know, people make time
for who
they want to make time with and what they want to do.
Got it. Wow.
So maybe
in the words
just...
of Cole, checkmate. Check. You know, I just pushed the king over. I think you did that. Yeah, I think you took that
just
to another
level.
Important. Yeah. So I'm not important. Yeah. God damn it.
You're important to other people.
Yeah.
You call me. I can't.
You did. Yeah. You answered my phone call.
That I will.
But is answering the phone call becoming passe? Like, yeah. I mean, people don't want to talk to you. They will rather you text them.
Right. It's so funny that how social media has made us so personal to the general public, but so impersonal to our private sector.
Right.
You know, it's like, why don't you just text me, man? Like, why can't I just call you?
If you text me anything more than two lines, there's a call on the way.
It's called delete.
Now, my kids do this. I don't know if your kids, my kids are a little older than your kids, but my kids, if you're not on an Apple device, they won't text you.
Oh, at all.
They be like,
just because
Droid.
It's messing that color.
Yeah, they don't like the color of the bubbles. It's like, oh, them green bubbles. Ugh. Droid.
That's passe.
That is so whack, right? Droid. Nothing said.
That's so disrespectful.
Oh my God, man.
They give Android such a hard time when you're an iPhoner. Like, we don't do that to iPhone people like they do to us.
Y'all kind of do.
We flex with a camera. Yeah, we flex
y'all
on our cameras.
Pull y'all fly ass camera out. We be like, flex on you. What's that?
Let me take my own selfie.
Be like, then you look at the Android picture. Be like, damn,
it's cold as I don't know what.
But you know Apple, how gangsta Apple is?
What's that?
They'll make it where your pictures look weird on their device.
Oh, trust me. Yes. They're like, can you just email me the picture card? Like, ugh. But Android, you know what? I think they did a tit for tat. Because somebody sent me a video like, look at this bomb video. And I'm like, this is like, you can send it to me on dial-up.
Right. Stop. It's terrible. Stop. Stop. So, hey, man, it's Roddy Perry, my man Cole Parker in the building. Cole, you're an entrepreneur. Give me what made you brave enough to step out on your own with your own business, man?
Well, believe it or not, brother, you will get into what hat I'm wearing shortly. but when it comes down to it, I had a plan when I was young, man. Mm-hmm. At 16, I was like, okay. At 18, I want to have a first job that's going to be career focused. By 25, I want to be in whatever position I'm in, be out of school, have me a great job, only making six figures. At 35, I never want to work for no one.
Wow.
At 45, I want to make my first million. Now, I just turned 45, and I'm still working on the latter part, but everything else is coming up. Yeah, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 34. I haven't punched in since I was 34 years old.
Wow. Wow. I thought about that recently. I haven't worked a regular job since 1998 when I got out the Navy.
Wow.
And maybe 2000.
Right.
2000 is when I really said, you know what, you know, this is it. This is what I'm going to do, entertainment the rest of my life, some way, shape, or form. And I haven't had to be anywhere.
Right.
Like, sit at the office and go take lunch and right. I haven't had to do any of that. And I've been working for myself ever since. So I say that to say this, man, how do you pass that thing on to your kids? And yeah, answer that, then we'll move on.
Well, one thing I'm a firm believer in is whatever your life is, whatever you decide, I stick with you by that instead of trying to formulate you into being what I want you to be. I never want remorse from my kids for having a job that they don't want to work. So I build my business so they can take it over, but not that they have to.
Got it.
You know, so like in your particular case, you know, you've done movies, entertainment, comedy, done law. Has any one of your children wanted to follow your footsteps? If so, what have you done to encourage and discourage them? Because obviously you see the light and the dark side.
Right.
And what have you done to encourage those who don't?
You know what? That's a super duper great question. I have done nothing. And it's horrible. I don't know. I haven't done anything. But in my defense,
okay. That's terrible, right?
No, and I mean it. I've been so consumed with my own journey that I look back some time and go, wow, I should have done more, maybe to cultivate my son. Like, my son showed some interest in rapping, and maybe I could have, you know. But it was moments when I felt like he just wasn't serious enough, right. You know. But who am I to evaluate that?
That's exactly correct.
You know, and so, but I have bought him stuff. So okay. I can't say I didn't do. I haven't done anything. I
so
bought
you
him.
Contribute. You just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always been like this. I'll give you tools that I didn't have, because I did, there were no tools for me. So I'll give you some of the tools that I didn't have, and then you have the opportunity to take those tools and use them. I mean, because you hear about a guy like Soulja Boy made his first album in a closet. Right. And so if I give you a mixer and a machine and this and that and a mic and like and a computer,
at least you can kill hip hop like he did.
You can murder hip hop. And that's really what it's all about. Murdering hip hop. Yeah. At least we understood him. He's Superman, those hoes. And
yeah, he did.
But as I think about my children, the only other one that's kind of showing some interest in entertainment maybe is my daughter Rihanna, who is funny to me.
Okay.
And but at the same time, not. I mean, I would be pushing it on her,
right?
You know,
right.
As of now. So,
she hasn't come to you and was like, "Hey, Dad, I want to
do blah blah." Yeah. But like I told him when I set this setup here that we're on, I was like, okay, "You guys should do a podcast," right, because I was listening to the radio yesterday, and this lady was saying the future for the young people now is becoming social media influencers.
Absolutely.
So if you start now, by the time you're 21 or 22, you could have a following of hundreds of thousands of people, a million. If you had a wherewithal to just stick it out. Dude, I look at my journey, man, and it's been moments. Cole, man, I've been ahead of the power curve so many times. I was doing viral videos in early 2000.
Wow.
Easily. It was, and then I got bored. I told my buddy, I told my buddy, a friend of mine, Brandon Bowling. I said, "Dude, you're a visionary. You had Brandon has a video with me and Cat Williams doing a sketch from 20 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm like, "Dude," and I used to tell him this even then. I was like, "Dude, you're doing outside the box stuff, but you want to fit inside the box. You want to go through the normal means." Like, I was like, "Dude,
you got to create new space."
I told him,
yeah,
put this shit on the internet. But you know what I realized I'm great at? Giving people advice and not listening to it myself.
Yeah, that's me.
I am the king. I posted it not too long ago on Instagram. I was like, all that great advice you're giving is probably for YouTube.
Absolutely. But you know what? There's also a difference between people who create ideas and those who formulate and bring the idea to fruition. Okay, so you have your sayers and you have your doers.
Okay.
Okay. Unfortunately, it looks like sounds like we're both sayers.
Yeah.
Okay. So like we can create this wonderful idea, but it'll sit on the back burner. Somebody else either makes us do it, or we get to a point where we're like, you know what? I might as well pick this up and do it.
I always tell people, I'm an idea man.
Yeah.
I'm an idea man. So if you put me in a space where people can implement my ideas, then, and that's what I've been building my team. My team cannot be me. Right. And that's what I'm understanding about building the team. My team can't be Rodney Perry. And, you know, you have to be people that can take my idea into reality. And those are the people I'm looking for as I build the people around me and people that are going to help me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I of course, you know, I've been doing an improv workshop for some time now.
I've taken a couple times.
Never Deny Next Level, Cole, star student. And what occurred to me recently is that people come to my class and I really don't know where they're coming from. I mean, they could be a murderer, a killer. So fast forward, of course, you've taken the class. You're a super dynamic guy. My latest class, 5 people.
Okay.
One young lady is super duper dynamic. She's in finance. She was a banker. She's just a dynamic lady. It was another guy that took the class. He was funny. He reminded me of you. He instantly had that thing that you kind of look for, but I would almost have to dial him down.
Right.
And I said, "Dude, you don't have to try to be funny." Long story short, are you familiar with the film The Freedom Riders?
The film?
Yeah,
there's
a movie called The Freedom Riders. There's a book called The Freedom Riders.
I'm very aware of the story and the book.
The story is because they're from L.A. They're L.A. kids. They're from Long Beach, whatever. So he's one of those kids.
Word.
He's one of those kids. He makes his living speaking to thousands of people. I mean, he's been speaking for 20 years.
Man.
His name is Manuel Scott, Manny Scott.
Okay.
I went and caught him. He was in Detroit while I was in Detroit.
All right.
2,000 teachers in a room to see this guy speak. He told his story. Cole, I was moved on so many levels. First of all, you know, when you see somebody that, you kind of thought you knew the guy.
Right.
But you really didn't. You, I don't know what to do. You know, like Marvin Cables is absolutely a dope guy. And I'm like, you know,
intelligent.
I didn't realize until he left the class how dope he was.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you just shut up, shut the hell up and come to class. You know, and so to go and sit and watch this dude tell his story, motivate these people, and do it in such a way where I was kind of floored. I was floored. And I mean, this dude has three books. One of the books is How to Do What He Does. I like, dude, and this is the crazy part. This is how kind of God works too.
Okay.
I've been saying I want to get into that speaking space. And I'm like, God, dude, I was like, God, how do I do it? And then he drops this motherfucker in my life.
With a book.
Give me that damn book.
Right. Here's your how-to guide.
Here's your how-to guide.
That's it.
And he has a desire to be funnier. And what he told me, he said, man, the reason I took your class is because my life is heavy, man. He said he has to go and emote these emotions every day to these groups of people because his story is really heavy. He was homeless. He was in school. He couldn't read. They had him in a class where, because his name was Manuel, they put him in English as a second language. So he in the class with all Spanish people. He don't even speak Spanish.
He's like, El Stapo. El Guapo,
please.
But so, he is a dynamic. I mean, like, that dude's a pilot too.
He's a pilot. You know him?
Yeah, not really, but I know how to Google.
Wait, you Googled him just now?
Just now.
Wow, that's amazing.
Man, if you say somebody's that interesting, I'm gonna check him out. Dude, I trust your word.
Dude, first of all, the pilot thing, right?
Okay.
So he told me this. In my mind, I was like, this nigga lying. I swear to God. This nigga is a lying sack of shit. In my mind, I already said this guy is a fucking liar.
Right.
But at the same time, I did believe him, but I didn't.
Right.
Like somewhere in my soul, I didn't believe him.
Right.
And so I'm not tripping. So when I went to see him, he shows a picture of him flying the plane.
Oh, did he fly in?
Everybody watch out, my show. No, so he showed the picture of the plane. Even seeing the picture, I was like, that could be stock footage.
Right. Who's in the back?
You in that by yourself? Come on, where's the camera on the wing?
Did you just on a selfie stick?
But I'm a skeptic. I'm a skeptic, and so I'm talking to his wife. He's like, yeah, we just got in. We flew. Then I'm really starting to look at his social media, and you know, yeah, had grounded today because of weather. And I'm like, what?
He really is a pilot.
Wait,
where are we finna go?
Hey, Rod, I gotta take you up one time. I think you'll really like flying. I ain't going up in your plane with you, man.
You really won't? You still won't?
You know what? I would because I trust him.
Well, small engine aircrafts, they crash every day. Just to help you out with that.
All right. So.
But you know, life is about chances, brother.
Life is about chance.
Life is about, that's the only way to live it.
Well, there's some other ways to live it. There's got to be.
But like one thing I can tell you about you, as being experienced from being a part of the Never Deny Next Level series of courses, you genuinely and passionately care about people. And, you know, I think sometimes even your fan base may not recognize that just because it's become your norm. You know, so like, you play fun-loving characters. Your sets are hyper, you know, hyperactive sets, and then it would be hard for you to be like, yeah, okay, but you want me to take a selfie? It kind of be hard for you to change into that person. So your fans kind of accept that from you, but they really don't know how emphatically passionate you are.
Right.
You really are.
That's true. I mean, you made an observation about me that I still kind of stick in my vest, and you was like, dude, you're doing more than improv here, you know, and it's really up close. It's really an intimate situation. I don't let the class get over 10 people because I've done up to 17, and I was unable to give everybody my undivided attention. And people would hide from me.
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
You know, people would, you know, look, you froze in all season, you know. And so because of that, we've had some really dope people come. Christy Porter yeah, came
absolutely.
Through. Pretty dynamic girl.
Yeah, Miss Charlene.
I really feel like that I could even give her more. Like, I really, like, because I think this character has kind of took a life of its own.
But she has so much more to
offer. She has so much more.
She is, now, she is very talented.
Christy Porter is better than Miss Charlene.
Yeah, she's definitely, she's a triple threat. Like, the girl.
She sings.
She's comedy. She acts.
Her drama is dope. She'll cry at the drop of a dime.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and so I kind of want to grab her, maybe do something one-on-one with her. I mean, I just think she's dope. I mean, she appeared in my short film, which you appeared in as well.
Absolutely.
And it's been rewarding. I mean, I was telling some friends the other day, you do everything for yourself, for your own edification. You do everything you do. It's something about you that needs that to be done. You know, everybody, the guy said to me, Rodney, I'm not selfish. I was like, you have to be.
Right.
If you're not selfish, you need to get your shit together.
Right. Because you're never going to do anything for yourself.
You have to. Yeah. You have to be selfish. Yeah. Like, it was points in my career. Like, I can be unselfish now because I was very selfish early on in my career.
Right.
You know, you have to earn the right to be unselfish.
Absolutely.
You know, that was dope. Did I just drop
that? Yeah, that was dope.
Did I just drop a jewel?
Yeah, right.
I need a jewel drop. man. So, hey, this is Rodney Perry. That young man, the other voice you hear is Cole Parker. Can I say Cole Parker?
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Cole Parker. You got all type of aliases.
Yeah, that's pretty much all they
I mean, maybe on social media.
That's it. So social media, you know, but that's Cole is it.
Right.
I just got my hands in a lot of pots.
You can hear Cole weekly, the podcast Practical Smokers.
Practical Smokers, that is absolutely correct.
They got an Instagram page.
Absolutely.
Practical Smokers.
On Facebook.
You are a cigar smoker.
Definitely. That's how we really connected.
That's how we connected. What do you love about it?
It's actually a few things now.
Okay.
It actually gives me my own personal staycation at times.
I got it.
I can go sit by the pool or a body of water, light up a cigar, even have coffee or a alcoholic beverage, a spirit.
Could you not do that if you didn't have the cigar?
I can still do it without the cigar. But one thing about
it gives you kind of something doing.
It gives you a constant something to do that doesn't require.
If I miss anything, I miss that.
Right.
If I miss anything, I miss just going and just, because I would go to the cigar bar and just sit there by myself sometimes. Just,
right. F off life.
Yeah. But I can do that here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But it gives you a legitimate reason. I mean, and although I tell people I stopped smoking cigars, but I realized that I liked
the camaraderie.
I like cigar people more than I like cigars themselves.
Man, let me tell you something about cigar people.
Cigar people are dope.
They're just better than regular people.
They're never riffraff.
Never.
They're always, at the very least, like, you're not spending $10 to $50 on a stick.
Multiple times a day at times.
Easily.
Right.
I mean, at my height, I was smoking maybe 4 or 5 cigars a day.
Yes, it's easy to do.
But it was just because I was at the spot.
Right.
And we were kicking it. And it was so social when we were all kicking it at Maduro's. It was so social. It was a great place. We would be there during the middle of the day. We would start playing cards.
We'd get there at 2 in the afternoon, even 2 in the morning.
Easily. Easily.
With no women, no anything. Just a whole bunch of dudes, cigars. And probably terrible something on TV.
And I think it created a space where, as men, we very seldom have that outlet to chop it up with other men.
Right.
You know, it created a sense of community. And men solve things differently. And so to get us in a space together, it kind of forces you to kind of get through some stuff that you wouldn't normally get through, you
Absolutely.
Know, or but one with another.
Once you gain that camaraderie, you gain friendships, and with them friendships, you're able to share your life experiences. And then a lot of times they lived it also.
Yes.
So then you learn commonality.
And you're not on your own. You're not on your own.
No. And then you can learn. Let me tell you, even the dumbest fool in a cigar bar, you can learn something from.
Absolutely.
Because they have to have a certain level of success to be a person who's in a cigar. You said spending $10 to $50 a day on cigar habit. You know, they have to be something about themselves. And that's one thing that I really, really do enjoy about it. I miss the old camaraderie at Maduro's. I think out of all the cigar spots I've been to, and I've been to quite a bit, and I mean like going all like a regular at different cigar bars, I do miss our collection of people who was formed at Maduro's. Like just that Maduro's crowd that we had was different than most.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, different than most.
On so many levels. Uh-oh, let me see if my man coming in. Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, bro? Who's that, Big Black Hank?
Hank.
Hold what
on,
up,
hold
man?
On, let me hold on a second. Let me bring you in. Hold on 1 second, buddy.
You know, the iPhone and tricked them up, but they can't use a regular plug.
Hank Denson.
Yes, sir.
Say what's up to Cole Parker.
Oh, Cole Parker. Cole
Man, what's going on, Hank? Man, I'm sitting over here with my Hokas on. My feet are feeling fabulous.
Hey Hank, this is a podcast. Rodney Perry, Cole Parker. We at the square table. We're in the basement.
Square table in the basement.
Okay.
And
how you guys doing?
And I said, let me see what my man Hank doing. We just chopping it up. Just two guys talking. And I was like, man, what HD at? Let me holler at the man, the myth, the legend. And we were talking about. I was telling Hank that one of my students in my improv workshop turns out to be like this world-renowned speaker. And I really wanted to connect the dots with you and him as well, because you're in that teacher world. That's all he does is talk to teachers. Though. I'm talking about, I saw him in Detroit, Hank, 2,000 teachers, man.
Really?
Yes, man. His name is Manny Scott. Shouts out to Manny Scott. And he is one of the...
Manny, give me a call,
Manny's one of the Freedom Riders.
Yeah, he's a... Man, let me tell you. Freedom Rider, PhD student, pilot.
Yeah.
That dude's the Negro we all wanted to be when we were little.
Dude. But you didn't want to be him when he was little.
Oh, not at all.
Tough life.
You can leave that alone.
Yeah, he had a tough life. So, HD, man, pay teachers more money, man. Tell me about it.
Okay, so pay teachers more money. It was given. It was handed to me. I really wasn't the participating dad. I really didn't go. Like I was supposed to the school. I wasn't in the PC.
Hold on, let me cut you off. This is me not going to the school right now. Okay, go ahead.
So I was Rodney Perry.
Right.
And pretty much what happened is I was blessed to do a couple of movies and some stuff, and it freed up time. And time is money. So I was like, let me spend some time with my son. But no, my wife guilty. She was like, you don't go to the school. Your son wants you to go to a field trip. I went to a field trip, Mr. Ronnie Berry, and it changed my life. They gave me 6 kids. I didn't ask for them. Had me watch them in the aquarium. I'm like, this is not what I was qualified to do. I was supposed to hold hands in a group with other people. A couple of kids lost it. Little girl, white girl, started crying. I got nervous because we're downtown Atlanta. I'm a big black man.
Dead giveaway. Little white girl, black man, dead giveaway.
Black man did it.
Dang, right? I got nervous. And within that 3 minutes, bro, I realized they don't pay teachers more money. Got in the car, did a rant. Facebook Live was hot then. And it went to millions of views. And I was like, you know what? I think this is my platform. And teachers just kept coming. They said, we like what you're saying. And I'm like, well, I'm just saying what I feel. And they were like, no, parents don't say nothing. And you're a dad and you're saying something. That's different. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, let me change this into something where people are actually helping out.
And you're black dad. You're like a unicorn.
Right?
You're like a unicorn in there.
You Tiffany Haddish. You're the last unicorn.
Yeah, right. So I turned it into Teacher Relief Live. And with the help of my good comedy friends around me, including Mr. Perry, it's grown. And now I'm doing schools and teacher conferences all over the country. Came from New York doing a teacher union conference in Long Island. And that was amazing. 600 teachers. And we bring a production. It's like giveaways, comedy. We let them talk. We want to hear what they got to say, their crazy stories. We got swag bags and some music. It's pretty dope.
Wow. So, good stuff, man. It's amazing how from a rant, you know, what, 5 minutes, 3 minute rant, that can become what it's become.
Right. That's your career change. Like, you have found your calling and your audience. Imagine if everyone could do that.
Wow.
Man, what? If I could have found the audience
early. Right, you'd have been 15, 20 years in the game. Every teacher know you. Right. Yeah, that'd have been dope.
Right. But you know what? I'm handling with Kid Glove because I'm happy about the process. You know what I mean? I don't want to just, you know, being big is good, but making an impact is more important to me than anything. Making relationships, finding out what teachers really need. You know, sometimes it's the smallest thing. They be like, yo, I need a couple of stools. And they'll be almost about to cry because I get somebody to center the stools, or I get...
Man, like I remember my daughter's kindergarten teacher. I went there one time. I think we brought some, maybe like some cake or something for my daughter for her birthday or something like that. And this chick yanking out wet wipes like, pop, 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 pop. And I'm like, dang, how many do you go through a day? She's like, oh, I probably go through about 2 to 3 packs, like 100-something packs of wet wipes a day. And I'm like, you buy those?
Yes.
Right.
You're talking about we're talking about cigar smoking. That's a $10 day's expense on your children's hygiene.
Wow.
I was like, we're going to take care of these. And how about that? We got the wet wipes for the rest of the year.
Wow. But she seems to be a bit ADD, though. Do you need that many wet wipes?
You're talking about kindergartners.
That's not okay.
You talking about anything? Okay. You might have some doo-doo.
You know, again, I am a skeptic, and I'm always looking for the bullshit.
Don't always look for the BS, brother. Sometimes it's just nasty.
That's where the flu starts. Kindergarten.
I think that's where the AIDS epidemic started.
Is that right? You know what?
Kids create everything.
I can't do it no more.
Ebola was in kindergarten. Yeah,
there was no outbreak.
It was kids.
It's not on this
level. Right, little white boy eating his boo-boo on his finger. He be doing some wild stuff, man. If you ever go volunteer with kindergarten, you'd be like, if you touch me, I'm going to punch you. I promise you,
little boy, little girl, both of y'all.
I'm going to punch you square in your jaw.
Get worse, though. It's the worst.
Yes.
Hey, where you at, HD? It sounds like you riding around this beautiful ATS, shawty.
I'm actually in a car with the wife. We had to handle some, you know, errands this morning. She caught you.
Okay. Yeah. I've been kidnapped before.
Well, tell Miss Jesse old Rodney Perry
said
hi.
Yeah, tell Cole said hello as well.
Hey, Jesse, Rodney and Cole said hi. She gave me that look like
right. As long as it wasn't the middle finger, we all right.
Exactly.
I can live with
that. She looked at me like, okay, but hi.
Hilarious. all right, bro. Hey, man, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, let me
all right, man, love you, brother. Take it easy, man.
No doubt. Right. HD, my man Hank Denson. Hey, y'all, that's the type of stuff we're going to do on the podcast.
Hey, man,
it's
calling people. We don't even care.
You know, who said what?
Hank is dope, though. We ain't really giving a chance to get. Like, I went to Hank one time. Hank is a guy that you go to for anything. That's one thing I've learned.
Hank knows a little bit about everything.
I was like yeah man, you know, I got flat feet, so I messed up my, oh, you got plantar fasciitis, and you got blah, 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 blah. What you need is you need these, and this don't mess with that medicine. You need to roll orthotics, you need to roll your foot on the golf ball.
What? If you get anywhere in this guy's wheelhouse, he going to give you everything he got.
That's it.
You know, that's vitamins, you know, but I'll be side-eyeing Hank sometimes.
Right. He got the same problem.
Because he'll jump on a bandwagon to any new thing.
Okay.
So his thing now is, what does he try to get me on? Because, you know, I'd have took, you know, I will jump on.
Right.
He got me some vitamins or something one time, yeah. Some tea. He was in the tea for a minute. And he be carrying the stuff with him. He's like, I got that tea. Right. Go on, give me some of that damn tea. You know, that tea ain't do shit.
Well, you know. It was just tea.
It was one company that was selling coffee. I remember the coffee.
And it was okay.
Coffee changed life.
Let me tell you. The coffee was everything.
Really?
Bruh.
That doesn't make you lose weight, right?
Wait, who cared about the weight? You know what it did in the bedroom?
What?
The magic happened.
Coffee?
What?
What happened? Why you still
drinking? I think it had Viagra in it. I have no idea.
It was the African coffee.
It was whatever they had everywhere. Everywhere you go, they had these little boxes of coffee for you to buy. Everywhere you went.
Tasso or something.
No, that was tea.
That's tea.
Uh, Anyway.
Whatever.
Coffee.
Whatever. The coffee.
Okay, coffee.
The coffee.
But that coffee was everything. And when I started researching that coffee, I heard about something called bullet coffee. So bullet coffee is like the successful, highly active entrepreneur, CE-level executive go-to. So I think it's like Adderall in a cup.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like coconut oil coffee.
So it helps you focus at the same time.
Yes, it's really? Called bullet coffee. Now, it tastes pretty terrible.
But it's bullet coffee.
But hey, once you get shot you shoot it off, bow!
If y'all can see him right now, look like he actually just got shot out of a rocket.
I'm telling you, boy.
Hey, man. Hey, man, I tell you what. It's been a great first episode, man.
This is excellent, man. I'm glad I got to be here.
Hey, we is.
I'm so happy to be here.
Happy. Hey, Wakanda for life.
Wakanda for life.
Real quick before we go. What's a word, man? That thing that if you get a chance to talk to a young person that you would impart on them. What's a word? Cole Parker, word of the day.
Okay, my word of the day for that person would be: life has its own course. It's up to you to ride it and lead it. So in other words, prime example. My main business, I teach women self defense. That's what I've been doing for 8 years. If you'd asked me 9 years ago, I'd have laughed at you. Cole, you're going to teach women self-defense. Fool, please. Fool, please.
8 years later.
But when life took me down that course, an opportunity came and my preparation that I had at the time led me to some level of success, I then realized that that was my new life path.
Wow.
So it was up to me to ride it and lead it.
Yeah.
But it's got its own path. Even if I want to stray off course somehow, some way,
it is it.
Either I was going Vanilla Sky or I was going to ride a sprint.
Right.
So that would be my thing. You know, life has its detours, its lefts and rights, its construction underway. But just do your best to ride the life course, man.
Wow.
You know,
very dope.
That's it.
Very dope. Very dope. That's Cole Parker. He gives you. Let me see what I got. Let me. If I was gonna drop.
What's yours?
About to drop a jewel. Life is like. Life is this.
Don't say a box of chocolates.
Life is not like a box of chocolates, because that's stupid.
But that's true.
I always thought that was a dumb answer.
You never know what you're gonna get until you face that situation.
But after you've seen this box of chocolates, you're like, I don't want that one right there.
I don't like them flavors.
I don't want that black one. that black licorice.
Right, you start poking your holes in the bottom and putting them back.
Yeah, good luck with that one. No, life is like having a direction somewhere you've never been. Mm. Right? And so you have it, it's in your navigation, and you're following directions, but inevitably at some point you start to second guess the technology, second guess your direction.
Gotcha.
You're gonna now what you have to do as a person navigating through life is stay the course. Mm. Because if you get off the road, you end up on what they call a life detour. Absolutely. It's not saying you may not still make to where you're going, because it'll recalculate. But if you would have just stayed on the course, maybe your exit was the next exit.
Maybe you'd have been there. You arrived a lot earlier.
You'd have been there 10 years ago. I know I should have been where I was going. I know I'd have made some serious detours.
I kind of feel like you just like polished up what I said.
I did. We say all that to say this. Have a great day, y'all. My name is Rodney Perry. That's Cole Parker. And this is the basement. Or the square table, or the round table.
We'll call it the, I like the basement.
The basement.
The basement.
It's the basement. It's the podcast. I love it. Hey, y'all be good.
Peace out.
Yeah.